Welcome to The Honest Report, a weekly podcast analyzing media coverage of the Arab Israeli conflict, anti-Semitism, and radical Islamic terrorism.
They attacked by air, land, and sea, taking Israel by surprise during a major Jewish holiday. Now, 13 and a half hours after Hamas launched its audacious assault, Israel says it's at war.
Israel is at war. We didn't want this war. It was forced upon us in the most brutal and savage way. But though Israel didn't start this war, Israel will finish it.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says when it comes to destroying Hamas, quote, nobody will stop us.
Here's your host, Rob Walker.
October 7th was more than just a terrorist attack or even the biggest massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. It represented, perhaps more than any other event, the truest opportunity to see the real face of Hamas, not just its rhetoric, but its actions. Not only the rapes, murders, tortures, and kidnappings, but the gleeful manner in which they were carried out, filming it all for posterity and out of pride. October 7th, now, more than 5 months later, seems like ancient history, certainly to much of the news media, which now has widely lost interest, including in the Israeli hostages still being held in Gaza. Seeing the sights of Hamas's massacres firsthand helped to bring the reality home, not just of what happened that day, but of the moral necessity in fighting Hamas. In late January, Toronto businessman Larry Mayer brought a group of Canadian journalists to Israel for a short visit, where they bore witness to what Hamas carried out, and he joins us to discuss why he brought these individuals to Israel and what he wants such a visit to achieve. Welcome to the Honest Report Podcast. Larry Mayer, welcome to the Honest Report Podcast.
Thank you. How are you?
Pleasure. Well, very well. Thank you. I wanted to talk with you, of course, about in late January, you led a delegation of Canadian media or Canadian journalists to Israel. How did that happen? You're a Toronto businessman. How did this whole thing come about?
Well, I was looking to put together another mission, and that particular mission, I suggested, how about we bring in media? And because it might have been a conflict, that didn't happen. So I said, how about we just bring media in general? I don't think they've been to Israel in a long time. I don't believe the people I was thinking about had been to Israel, which they hadn't except for one. And that's how that sort of initiative got the ball rolling for what happened in late January.
And where did you go? What did you see?
So we spent the first 2 days primarily in Tel Aviv, going down to the Gaza envelope, went to a couple of the kibbutzes. Kibbutz Ra'im was one of them. Met with one of the survivors there. We met at another kibbutz, Kfar Aza. We met with a lady that lives on the kibbutz but wasn't there during October 7th. Her entire family lives there, from her grandchildren to brothers and sisters. And she was trying to help the people on the kibbutz, which is close to 900 people, remotely from Portugal, to help figure out what was happening during that day, that week. And she gave us a tour of her kibbutz. And so that was pretty much what we did on the first day. And a couple other areas, Moshan, I think, in down south, where the media was able to speak to some of the IDFs from the Gaza Brigade and have lunch with them. We then in Tel Aviv on the second day, we went to Washington Square, where they were able to meet with some family members that have hostages in Tel Aviv. They were also to see what was set up at Hostage Square. That was pretty much what the 2 days were like in Tel Aviv, which was extremely heavy. And frankly, I thought that the next 2 days, and we spent 4 days on the ground in Israel in total, but I thought the next 2 days would sort of ease up a bit, but it did not. And we ended up spending the third day up north, about nine kilometers from the border of Lebanon. We went to the Alma Research Center, and she gave a Sarit Runzik gave a briefing to the media on exactly what's happening on the northern side of Lebanon, what's happening in Syria, what's happening really with Iran, what the threat is to Israel, what the situation is up at the north of Israel, how approximately 60,000 Israelis are homeless up at the northern border. And we went to, from there, Druze community, so the media was able to meet Druze Israelis, get a better understanding of what the Druze community is and how they play a part in Israeli society. And on the last day, we spent in Jerusalem, where they had a brief tour of the old city and their foreign ministry office, meeting some Knesset members. So that was pretty much what the trip was like for 4 days.
And are you at liberty to tell us the participants, which reporters and journalists participated in this program?
Yep. Rob Roberts, the editor-in-chief from the National Post, Brian Lilly, the journalist at the Toronto Sun, Adrian Batra, the chief and editor-in-chief of the Toronto Sun, and Terry Glavin, independent writer as well as Nashville Post, journalistic book.
Now, why do you think, I mean, the names that you mentioned, these are people, without knowing them necessarily personally, they represent media outlets which are, broadly speaking, supportive, or certainly at the very least, quite fair to Israel. What do you think was the value and the benefit of letting them see in person, you know, not just what Israel experienced on October 7th, but more broadly Hezbollah and so on, even those who are already, broadly speaking, supportive of Israel? What did that provide?
So three of the participants, Rob, Adrian, and Brian, had never been to Israel. Terry's been multiple times. Terry, that was his first time since October 7th. I felt that, yes, they are friends, call them friends of the Jewish community, friends of Israel. But I felt that it was important to bring them to Israel so they could experience not only what happened on October 7th, but have an understanding of the country, meeting people in the country, understanding, getting a better understanding where radical Islamic jihad is coming from, you know, the surrounding area of Israel, so they can have an understanding as well that, you know, in 1948, the borders of Israel, of Egypt and Syria and Jordan, I mean, these were the threats of Israel. Right now, the threats are battalions of the Iranian regime, which are, you know, for all intents and purposes, almost inside of Israel. And to understand how close the geography of this is, you need to actually be there on the ground. You need to feel it and like to speak to people. You need to go to the old city and see how close the Holy Sepulchre is and the Kotel and the Temple Mount. You know, where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is, where this Al-Aqsa flood is supposed to happen. I mean, everybody's living on top of each other. And they have been writing about it and supporting the community and Israel. And I thought that, you know, the most important thing was for them to actually see it for their own eyes, to even have a better understanding of what they're writing. And the other thing that was important for this was a lot of these journalists do not, newspaper and the media do not have foreign correspondents anymore, and particularly in Israel. And for them to meet, you know, members of the Knesset, previous members of the Knesset, CEOs of NGOs, the IDF, you name it, members of the Arab-Israeli community, the Jewish community, they now have direct connection to these communities, these people. And if they ever have any questions or they ever want articles written or opinions, they can reach out to them, which they have since they've been back. So that was another initiative, an important aspect on this mission.
Now, hearing from the participants firsthand, what was some of the feedback? I'm sure, you know, about how powerful and how educational it was. I mean, did you hear feedback from them about some of the specifics, that things they learned that they simply would never have found out, you know, sitting at the other side of the world, you know, watching videos and reading about?
Yeah. So one thing they said to me, And I didn't even ask them. Came up to me and said this was a life-changing experience. They also, you know, going to the site of the Nova Music Festival, it so happened the day before we got there, 364 family members that had somebody that was killed during the festival or kidnapped, they had made a memorial for each person by digging, I guess you call it a makeshift grave, posting either a picture or a name of that person, going to the kibbutzes, and you can still smell the burning inside the kibbutzes. I mean, these were real life experiences that they had, and I mean, it really made it real for them, not that it wasn't, but before. And they, you know, they've talked about it, they've written about it, and they said it was that firsthand experience seeing that tragedy and understanding what's going on. And you hear, you know, while you're at the Nova Music Festival, you still hear mortar fire going on. I mean, there's still a war going on between Israel and Hamas. So that experience was real. They had a very good understanding that the Israeli economy is pretty much shut down. You know, all the infrastructure on Israel is shut down. And they also witnessed, which nobody talks about, almost 200,000 Israelis that are now refugees in their own country. From the north to the south, and, you know, everyone bottled up into central Israel. And everyone else is, whatever hotels they have available in Eilat, people are in Eilat. Yeah, but, you know, you're so close together to Gaza, and Eilat's very close to, you know, right on the Red Sea where the Houthis are trying to rob missiles. You have an appreciation of how close quarters everybody's living, and you're living to your neighbor next door that's a direct threat to you. It's not like living, you know, they realize not like living in Toronto and the threat over in British Columbia.
You know, when you went to some of the sites, the Nova Massacre, some of these kibbutzim where these massacres took place, and having seen, although 3 months later, rather, at the time, seeing the sites and really seeing firsthand the impact of what was obviously a heinous attack on civilians, what does that tell a participant in your mind, Larry, in terms of explaining the nature of Israel's war and the enemy that it faces in Hamas? Does it help to shine a light on the nature of the conflict at all?
Yeah, I mean, this was an invasion by a government, Hamas in Gaza, that came into Israel, which they saw. They saw Gaza, they saw the field, they saw the fences, I saw it. They saw the kibbutzes where people were living pretty much peacefully, where people were employing Palestinians from Gaza. They invaded a country. They slaughtered and everything else that, you know, we've been seeing and talking about for the last 5 months or so. And then they had, you know, the call it the nerve to take people from Israel and bring them back into Gaza, back into their country. It's not like they held these people hostage in the kibbutz and fought to the very end and were demanding ransom to, you know, release people from prison or money or something like that. They actually took people back as hostages back into their country. The government did. And they realized that. You see it. And it's an eye-opener. You realize, wow, like that this is what they actually did. And we feel it with the people. Every Israeli that you speak to, the conversations start off very similar. They're very angry, as they should be, as any normal human being should be. And they're very sad, and they're very scared. And that's all Israelis are talking about. That's the only thing they can talk about. I mean, the country has been totally turned upside down, and the media saw that. They actually felt it. They saw it. There's, you know, I've heard of friends going to Israel and things are moving and people are at cafes and partying. I personally didn't see that. Everything is open. It's quite empty. It's very quiet. And that's what the media saw. Very quiet. You know, a little bit of bustling. The beaches are empty. It's not the same. It's not the same like when I was there in August that most people that have been to Israel have seen. That's not what they saw.
Now, these four journalists, of course, were able to go and come back and tell their stories. Many others are not able to. In your mind, how can those, not just journalists, but certainly members of the public, get a bit of a glimpse into the reality of what's happening or what happened in Israel and why that colors, and what's still happening in Israel, and why that colors the entire world together? How can they do that? How can they get a bit of a taste of the reality without having gone there themselves? Is there a way to do that?
No. It's like, how do you get a taste of reality? What's actually happening in Ukraine if you can't go there and report it and experience it, feel it, or what's happening in all these countries where there's war? I think it's very important to, especially for journalists, if you want to get a story, you want to get their opinion. They have to have an experience, and they have to go there. Otherwise, you're just getting a commentary, which a lot of them are getting now, where they get a reading from Reuters or Associated Press, and they make an opinion about it. I personally rather hear from somebody that had an experience somewhere, and I may not have to agree with it, but they went there and they saw it. I think that other outlets should be doing the same thing. I don't personally have a problem with it. I think they should go and report. That's what their job is.
Larry Mayer, thank you very much for sharing time with us today, telling us a little bit about this this mission, this educational program that you really helped jumpstart at the end of January, and looking forward to following should there be more in the future.
Great. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
And that's today's edition of the Honest Report podcast. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to our mailing list, our podcast channel, and follow us on social media for the most up-to-date news. If you like what you've heard, please consider a donation to support our continued efforts at www.honestreporting.ca/donate. Until next time, thank you so much for listening.